Welcome back to the Great Lodge. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we talk about Twin Peaks, Season 2, Episode 3, The Man Behind the Glass. And this episode is pretty heavy on the soaps, right? There's some episodes that are heavier on soaps and some are heavier on the occult stuff. Well, we're getting soapy today, all right? Without further ado, let's get into it. Now, we start out at that old Calhoun Memorial Hospital. And Cooper is in there checking out Ronette Pulaski because, you know, she's coming out of that coma. And he finds buried under her fingernail, much like we saw in the pilot with Laura Palmer, there's a letter to be retrieved. So he pulls out the letter B. He tells Albert and Sheriff Truman about how he was visited by this giant. And the giant had three clues for him. He had the smiling body bags, which we've already seen. And then he had what was the second one? The owls. That's right. The owls are not what they seem for the second clue. And that's, you know, all over. That's what he found out when he talked to Major Briggs. When Major Briggs showed him the interstellar deep space communications. And then the third and final clue that we're yet to discover is without chemicals, he points. Plot spoiler, that's going to happen this episode. We're going to find out what that is, maybe. So Donna, she was investigating. She's trying to Scooby-Doo her way through the Laura Palmer murder. And she finally meets up with this guy, Harold Smith. This is the neighbor that Alice Tremont, the old lady with the creamed corn, told her to go visit Harold Smith. So she goes to visit Harold Smith. Of course, he's a total weirdo. He's a recluse. Got a penchant for the plants. He was a horticulturist. He's so weird, he offers her saltines and apple butter, which is probably pretty good, actually. but Laura was actually talking to Harold, and Laura actually wanted Harold to get in touch with Donna if something ever happened to Laura, which obviously something did happen. And we find out Harold was receiving the Meals on Wheels that Laura was delivering because Harold can't go outside. He's got some, I don't know if it's a disease or a phobia or something. He can't go outside. And he wants Donna to put an orchid on Laura's grave for him since he can't go outside. Now, we should also note that the orchid is a flower, and that's very much symbolic of the female genitalia, the yoni, as they would say in Hindus and tantric practices and things. Because there's an underlying element of sex magic and attraction of opposing polarities that happens throughout all of Twin Peaks. It's just one more symbol to throw in the bunch. Meanwhile, back at the Sheriff's Department, we're going to get one of the best monologues given to us by Albert, where Cooper, Truman, and Albert are debating how to move forward on this case, because Cooper is always trying to take it to this paranormal realm, and Albert is very rational, and he thinks it's silly, and he's always mocking it. And Truman and Cooper, they've got kind of a bromance going at this point. So when Albert starts talking trash, Truman's getting a little upset, okay? And they get into each other's face and have a confrontation, and you're not going to believe how Albert handles it. Take a listen.
R.B.T. Harry, I believe that these letters and the giant's clues are in some way related to this long-haired man. Mrs. Palmer saw him in a vision. She called this morning to say that Maddie had seen the man twice in the past 2 days, both times in a vision. I've seen him in my dream.
And Ronette.
She saw him physically at the train car.
Right.
Four of us have seen him in different forms. This path is a psychic link that will lead us straight to him.
So, what did this giant sound like, hmm? I mean, do you have a big booming voice or what?
No, he spoke softly, distinctly.
And you gave him the beans you were supposed to use to buy a cow?
No, Albert, I gave him my ring.
Okay, confining my conclusions to the planet Earth. The cocaine you found in James Hurley's gas tank was a match to what we found in Jacques' car and in Leo's house. You get the picture?
Even got the frame.
Handiwork of Leo Johnson, currently appearing at Calhoun Memorial Hospital as Mr. Potato Head. The boots are a Circle brand rare work boot. The ones we found haven't been worn or tampered with. The letter B from Ronette's finger was cut from a copy of Flesh World. It's a perfect match. This particular edition features swingers clubs for standard poodle enthusiasts. No comment. We sent a portrait of your long-haired man to every agency from NASA to DEA and came up empty. This cat is in nobody's database.
A man that four of us have seen here in Twin Peaks.
Sure. Oh, by the way, you were shot with a Walther PPK. It's James Bond's gun. Did you know that? You're looking better today, Coop.
Thank you, Albert. Feeling better.
The trail of the man who shot you was ice cold, but I hoovered some fibers from the corridor outside your room. My ticket out of Trolleyville. I'll be at the lab, gentlemen.
Anything we should be working on?
Yeah. You might practice walking without dragging your knuckles on the floor.
Albert, let's talk about knuckles. For the last time, I knocked you down. I felt bad about it. The next time is going to be a real pleasure.
You listen to me. While I will admit to a certain cynicism, the fact is that I'm a naysayer and hatchet man in the fight against violence. I pride myself in taking a punch, and I'll gladly take another because I choose to live my life in the company of Gandhi and King. My concerns are global. I reject absolutely revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. I love you, Sheriff Truman.
Albert's path is a strange and difficult one.
Okay, so let's recap. The three letters so far retrieved from under the fingernails of dead, or, well, I guess Ronette Pulaski's not dead, but attempted murder there. R, B, and T. That's Teresa Banks's fingernail and Laura Palmer and Ronette. Underneath their fingies is little letters. Sorry, it's been a long day. I can't get my words out today. And later in the episode, you're going to find out that these letters are, in fact, cut from issues of Flesh World, the swinger magazine that keeps coming up in the storyline. Cooper runs down the connections of this mysterious, wanted, long-haired man that's on the sketch, who's been seen in visions now by Dale Cooper, Sarah Palmer, Maddie, and Ronette. And you'll know, and Cooper thinks there's a path here that's a psychic link to this long-haired man. So there's a psychic link with all these people. Remember, Cooper said he's a strong sender. Remember, Sarah and Maddie, they're able to see visions, like Laura. They were connected. And you'll note that Cooper, I'll make a note to try to get, a photo here. Cooper, he actually is drawing this on a chalkboard, trying to depict what he's saying, and he draws it in a circle, okay? The circle and the donut and the karmic wheel comes up oftentimes. We talked about it pretty heavily, I think, last episode. We talked about how the in Buddhism, the samskara is the sort of the programming and the repeated stories that we tell ourselves, and we create our own karmic wheel, and there's a Ouroboros kind of idea there of a serpent eating its own tail, the cyclical nature of time and things like that, death and rebirth. Now, Albert, he's not buying any of this talk about giants and long-haired boogeyman. So Albert and Truman have that showdown, and Albert tells Truman that ultimately he loves him. He chooses the path of love, which I didn't see that coming. That's what he does. So Cooper then, they let James out of the jail cell when they realized that the cocaine in his fuel tank wasn't his. We're also introduced to Richard Tremaine, a.k.a. Dick Tremaine, who comes to pick up Lucy for a date. Andy, of course, being real jealous, isn't around for this. He doesn't want to. He called in sick that day. And it's presumed that maybe Dick Tremaine is the father of Lucy's child, because she's pregnant, remember? We don't know yet, but that's the presumption here. Leland shows up to the sheriff's department to tell Cooper about the man on the sketch. Because you remember last episode, he saw the sketch in Ben Horn's office, and he said, I remember that guy from when I was a kid up at Pearl Lakes. So he talks to Cooper and Truman, says, hey, I know that guy when I was a kid. I used to go up to the lake house at Pearl Lakes, and there was this old guy, and that was one of the neighbors. And Cooper asks his name, and Leland recalls his name was Robertson. So Cooper thinks, oh, RBT. I wonder if that's the same guy. Robertson, RBT. Leland says that Robertson used to flick matches at him and say, do you want to play with fire, little boy? And Cooper says, that's our man. While looking at a match that's burning. Illuminate, confirm, maybe. The torchbearer, Lucifer. I don't know. Just an idea. Let's throw that out there. So Donna sees Maddie and James holding hands at the Double R Diner. And she cuts this sucker in half, bro. She disses James. She's like, yeah, I was out. I was busy. I was running late because I met me a young man, a young intelligent man. And I don't know anyone who's intelligent, James. And James, he ain't got nothing to say to that. He knows. Look, he knows. He's stupid, but he's not that stupid. Meanwhile, up at One-Eyed Jack's, Blackie is tying up Audrey and shooting her up with heroin because she's going to try to blackmail, I guess is the right word, or manipulate or coerce Ben Horn into selling One-Eyed Jack's to her in exchange for his own daughter, Audrey. And we find out that Blackie said that Ben Horn actually did this to her in the past. So Ben's got really dark passengers. As if you couldn't tell. Every time they show him on Twin Peaks, he's in front of a fireplace or he's smoking a stogie. He's a bad, bad man. Philip Gerard, the one-armed man, he's selling shoes to Truman at the sheriff's department there. And he sees a sketch of that long-haired boogeyman. And he has a very severe reaction to this. And he ends up going to the bathroom because he's having a reaction. He's trying to shoot up some medicine. I don't know what kind of medicine you shoot up, but he's about to shoot it up in the bathroom stall. He's convulsing and tripping out. And he says he feels Bob's presence nearby. Oh, this is all connected here. The one-armed man and Bob. And later on in the show, Cooper confirms this. He recalls that in one of his dreams, the one-armed man actually knew Bob. Also, while we're in there, Shelley, she doesn't want to give a statement against Leo because, you know, Cooper and Truman are trying to figure out who burned down the sawmill. They think it's Leo Johnson. And they need Shelley to make a statement, but she ain't going to do that. And Cooper knows why. Cooper knows that Bobby, being a scumbag that he is trying to get Shelley to get that insurance money by taking care of Leo, so she's not going to snitch on him. Then, Ben Horn and Cooper, they do a little dance, because Cooper, he's a little bit offended by how late it took for Ben to call the police that Audrey's missing. It took him 2 days. But Ben, you know, he's a snake. He don't really care that she's gone. But Cooper seems to think, or he seems to know that Ben is being very callous about this whole thing. And Ben, in return, threatens Cooper, implying that Cooper's relations with Audrey may be outside of his required professionalism, meaning he thinks that he's trying to shtup Audrey. Then we're back at One-Eyed Jack's. Blackie is joined by Jean Renault. This is Jacques Renault's brother. Remember Jacques Renault? That's the what do you call it? The card dealer at One-Eyed Jack's, the bartender. Bite the bullet, baby. He got suffocated in the hospital. He's dead. Because Cooper set up Jacques to get arrested. Well, anyways, his brother, Jean Renault, is in town. And he's hanging out at One-Eyed Jack's with Blackie. And he's there to help her because he's also trying to get paid. And he's also trying to get the man who killed Jacques, which he thinks is basically Cooper. He thinks Cooper's... He didn't think Cooper killed Jacques, but he thinks Cooper's responsible for his brother's death. So he's trying to get revenge. Truman tells Cooper about how this one-armed man disappeared from the sheriff's department earlier. And when he's talking to him in his office, you can see on the wall there is a painting of an owl in Truman's office. All right. I'll put that photo on the Instagram as well. Cooper then hears this. Here's how the one-armed man had a reaction. And he knows, right? He knows what's up. And he runs to the bathroom and he finds the needle on the ground that Philip Gerard left in the bathroom before he ran out of the sheriff's department. And he connects it to the giant's third clue. Without chemicals, he points. The one-armed man pointed to the long-haired boogeyman in the sketch, and he went to go get his chemicals. Meanwhile, at the Calhoun, Big Ed visits Nadine, and he sings the song On Top of Old Smokey by Gene Autry. Is it Gene Autry? Maybe I should look that up. I just Googled that. I didn't know that was the name of the song, On Top of Old Smokey. A bunch of people sang it, apparently. It's an old folk song. I don't know who originally sang it. But anyway, he's singing On Top of Old Smokey, and she wakes up from her coma. She's got that death grip on his hands, and she reveals that she thinks she's in high school, and she's going to cheerleader practice. What's going on there? That's weird. Also at the hospital, Dr. Jacoby, he's still in the hospital. But now his room is all decked out in Hawaiian garb. And his wife, yes, he's married. His wife is there from Hanalei, and they're doing some kahuna healing on him. So Cooper and Truman show up because they want to figure out, because he was in the same hospital room with Jacques Renault when Jacques was suffocated by a pillow by a guy, a mysterious man, or a person with gloves, I should say. So they want to hypnotize him to figure out who was in that room with him. So Jacoby says, here, I've got an auto-suggestion program that I use for hypnosis. Let's try that out. And he tells Sheriff Truman to hold up this stone. And the stone is in the shape of a circle with a hollowed-out center. So yes, he's holding basically a stone donut. There's that circle again, right? Also, earlier, I forgot to mention, when Albert's going on his little tirade, you heard on the clip, he makes note that the boot found at Leo Johnson's, hidden underneath the plank that Andy inadvertently knocked upwards. I don't know. What's the right term there? Andy accidentally stepped on this plank, and it revealed a hidden boot, and that boot was a Circle brand boot. Meanwhile, Jacoby gets put on hypnosis, and he recalls seeing who killed Leland. He recalls, I told you guys, it's been a long day for me, all right? Jacoby recalls seeing who killed Jacques Renault, and we get a little bit of a cliffhanger for about 10 minutes. But we also hear that Jacoby smelled burned engine oil, a recurring theme in Twin Peaks, it seems. So Donna, she heads out to the graveyard. She puts the orchid on Laura's headstone and confesses to Laura how things got so messy now. She's in love with James. She always wanted to be like Laura because, remember, they were besties. But then regrets how Laura lived her life because look what it did. It got her killed. And she talks about all the problems going on with James and Maddie. And she says, it's almost like you didn't get buried deep enough. Laura is some kind of catalyst for a whole bunch of events here. And to prove that point, Donna heads back to the Palmer house and sees Maddie and James kissing. She walks in and they're smooching. So she storms out of there. We get this iconic traffic light sequence of it going from green to yellow to red, presumably at 21 in Sparkwood. And Maddie, she's all upset now. And she's talking to Leland. And she's talking about how she came out here for this funeral. And she fell into a dream. And Leland holds her and he says something very creepy. Take a listen.
It was come to a funeral. And it's like I fell into a dream. It's like people think I'm Laura. And I'm not. I'm nothing like Laura.
It's so hard. I know. I know, sweetheart. I know.
And all I know is that Laura was my cousin, and I loved her, and she died. I don't know anything else.
You just want life to be the way it was before.
Yeah.
So do I. We all do. And try as we might, it just won't cooperate, will it?
No.
Oh, Maddie. If life could only be like those summers up at Pearl Lakes.
Leland says, if only life was like those summers up at Pearl Lakes. But earlier we heard him say that this creepy guy with the long hair was flicking matches at him at Pearl Lakes. Another theme is the dream world idea. That's a very tangible concept in Twin Peaks. It does feel like a dream at times. It's very bizarre. So Cooper and Truman, they show up to the Palmer residence, and turns out when Jacoby was under hypnosis, he said that he saw Leland Palmer killing Jacques Renault. So Cooper and Truman arrest his ass. Now, the rationale here is pretty reasonable. Jacques Renault was alleged to be part of the murder of Laura Palmer, so Laura's dad's gonna get some vengeance. And then finally, last scene of the show, Donna heads over to Harold Smith's place, and while she's there, she sees that there is, in fact, Laura's secret diary hidden at Harold Smith's house. So that's the full episode. Next episode you need to watch is Season 2, Episode 4, Laura's Secret Diary, and things are heating up in Twin Peaks. So stay tuned, stay subscribed for that, and until next time, stay woke.